morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I wonder if we can hear Martha's thoughts in between the lines of today's scripture. In a previous visit by Jesus, as many of you may remember, she complained to Jesus because Mary was giving too much attention to him and not helping in the kitchen. Now, in today's story, Martha might have been thinking, here she goes again. But now it is even worse. She is anointing Jesus, his feet, with precious, valuable perfumes and an oil. Mary is really stepping beyond the bounds of propriety. For one thing, anointing is for the head, not the feet. You do not pour precious oils over dirty feet. Oh, if someone were dead, you might, but Jesus is alive. Perhaps Mary is acting like maybe Jesus might be dying soon. How dreadful. But that is not all that Martha may have been thinking. A woman never lets down her hair in public. Remember, Mary is anointing Jesus by using her hair. Only harlots undo their hair. Proper ladies keep their heads covered. Mary is losing control of herself. And now, on top of all this, the aroma of that sweet-smelling stuff is filling the whole house. No one could ignore that if they wanted to. The odor might even linger in their clothes, of the clothes of those present when they leave. Even those not in the house will smell it and ask about it. How embarrassing. But even if Martha did not speak up, Judas did. He appeared to be the treasurer for the small band of disciples, and he reprimands Jesus for such wasteful behavior on Mary's part. That stuff is worth money. There are so many poor people in the world, Jesus. Those perfumes could be sold and the profits could go to them, he says. But now the scripture suggests that Judas' true motive was otherwise. The writer tells us that Judas was a thief and he kept the common purse. He used to steal what was put in and into it. Maybe Judas is thinking, I could use that money. My income has been kind of low lately. I could use at least 30 pieces of that silver stuff. But Jesus handled this whole situation quite well. For one thing, he received Mary's act graciously. He may have been the only one in the room who did not act as though they were embarrassed. Even Mary might have been taken aback by her own impulsiveness, but Jesus made her feel accepted and loved. And then there was, of course, his firm response to Judas. I will be around but for a brief time. The poor will be here to be served after I am gone. One can honor me without neglecting the poor. Permit me a little bit of an aside here, but yet I think it speaks to what we're looking at this morning as well. When people today look for a reason to ignore the poor, they might say, what's the use? Even Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. There will always be poverty. Why go out of the way to serve those people? Poverty is almost treated as though it were God's intention or God's will. But don't forget the context here. Jesus knew Judas was a thief. He knew what Judas would do with the profits from the sale of the valuable perfumes. His rebuke of Judas' suggestion had nothing to do with the treatment of the poor, but with the evil, selfish intentions of Judas. In this context, we can remember, and we can't ignore or forget the words of Jesus from the 25th chapter of Matthew. He refers to the least of these as being poor, as well as other things, and says, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Jesus was not helping us to find an excuse for not serving the poor. Now, how can we anoint Jesus' feet today? How can we give our riches to him today? How can we pour out our affection for him? How can we kneel before him and worshipfully treat his feet? How can we break through protocol and custom to demonstrate our love for him? Let's consider three aspects here: worship, sacrifice, and service as means to such ends. For one thing, we can anoint Jesus' feet in worship. Worship is a time when we focus on God. We open our hearts and our minds and our lives to God. We bear our souls before God. We express praise and thanksgiving and honor to God. And the setting can be important. A quiet place. Many of you are in a quiet place now, not here, of course. Maybe a sanctuary. Maybe with others. Maybe you're with family right now. All these are a challenge for us in today's situation, but they are at least important to consider. Several years ago, I attended a church weekend youth retreat. I was the church's pastor, and I wanted to be supportive of the event. There were probably about 25 young people present. They came from quite varied backgrounds and cultures. Their perceptions of what a retreat away from home and parents, well, it differed significantly than maybe some other adults thought of. On more than one occasion that weekend, I felt like I was a policeman rather than a pastor or a preacher. Some would disappear for a bit and return smelling of tobacco smoke. Other times, I found myself chasing down a girl and boy who had quietly disappeared. Oh, there were times for study and discussion and prayer, but one felt they were participating to patronize us adults and get it over so they could get on with the fun stuff. Toward the end of our time together, the youth counselor took me aside and told me about the closing worship that was to come. The young people were going to partake in a foot-washing ceremony. A what? You've got to be kidding, I said. These kids are okay, but someone has to be in charge of foot-washing. This cannot possibly work. The counselor smiled and just said, "Watch." So the kids were rounded up and seated in a circle. After a prayer and a few songs, the counselor brought out a basin of water and a towel. She gave it to the teen next to her and told her to kneel down in front of the one next to her and wash his feet. What happened next astounded me. The young people quieted down and reverently accepted their feet being cleaned and then did it to the friend next to them. The activity was done in silence. Worship settings can happen anywhere, under many circumstances. The scripture read at the retreat was the one we just heard today, plus the one when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Our worship today is in a variety of settings. You are participating by means of different forms of media. It may be a challenge for many of you, but wherever you are, know that we are all together in spirit. We are experiencing a time that is not at all familiar, nor even comfortable. In fact, fear and apprehension are difficult to set aside. But know this, God is with us. He is with us all, no matter our location or setting. And through God's presence, we are together. Know this, no matter the atmosphere, the worship today is real. Mary's act of anointing Jesus' feet was an act of worship. Her appearance was not important to her. What others thought was not important. She was worshiping her Lord. Secondly, we anoint Jesus' feet in acts of sacrifice. Sacrifice means we give up what has become important to us, like Mary giving up valuable perfumes and oils. Sacrifice in this context is saying God and God's Son are more important. Nothing matters more. Anything can be put aside to please and serve our Lord. It was sacrifice. So we can sacrifice. We can sacrifice time. Most of us have established routines. They're kind of thrown off over the last couple of weeks, but I suspect many are beginning to recreate and put together new routines. They are necessary, however, to meet responsibilities. Routines give us structure, security, predictability. But God sometimes demands that we sacrifice, give up our time for ourselves to serve God through serving others. It could mean following through after an unexpected phone call. Maybe there is a Good Samaritan run that demands immediate attention. Or maybe we anoint Jesus' feet as we sacrifice some of our money. Most of us have some kind of financial plan or another. It would be irresponsible if it were otherwise. We have to plan ahead, but we have to think of the future. We have to prepare for the unexpected. Or if we have no plan, we know we probably should. But sometimes our plan and God's plan are different. A needy family member or neighbor is in crisis. A cause that affects our community, our environment, our world is in need of resources, including money, to relieve many and please God. Mary's act was one of sacrifice. Her material possessions were not important. The expensive perfume did not need to be used for herself. She was sacrificing for her Lord. And we anoint Jesus' feet, third, with acts of service. This is more than just taking money out of our wallets and pocketbooks. It is acting on it in other ways. Where does this happen? As referred to earlier, when we serve the least of these, we serve and meet Jesus. He made it very clear that we can find him in the poor, the homeless, the ill-clad, the imprisoned, the hungry. In serving them, we are serving him. We cannot physically anoint Jesus' feet today, but we can anoint by reaching out to the least of these. We can be missionaries for Jesus. Very specifically, during these challenging times, there are new opportunities to serve, opportunities we have never considered before. The news media is covering all forms of kindly acts. Families are receiving aid to help with their children who will be out of school for an extended period of time. Teachers are going out of their way to send suggestions home. Communities are making sure they get the food so they can that they would normally get at school. The health and medical workers are putting in endless hours to help those who have tested positive for a new and frightening virus. Some are working in laboratories around the clock to find solutions. Neighbors are reaching out to neighbors. Now there is at least one opportunity within our church to reach out to those who are in healthcare facilities or homebound. We are calling it a way to serve. Many cannot receive any face-to-face visitors. Volunteers are being asked to get in touch with these people by phone and or cards. In order to cover as many as possible, we need you who are watching and listening this morning to volunteer. Here is the email address to indicate you would like to serve in this manner. It is DougDenton@kentmethodist.org. You will then be given an assignment with some suggestions to help. And of course, I know you'll still reach out to others as well, even all those who are not assigned. And even if you are not comfortable with this volunteer opportunity, I am sure you can identify on your own those needing attention and service, the infirmed family member, the lonely, the distressed, and those, yes, who are afraid. Now back to Mary. She did not notice or care what others thought. She was worshiping, sacrificing, serving Jesus. It is an example from which we too can learn. Micah reminds us that God does not really care for all those traditional acts that are automatic and performed without any thought in worship, such as burnt offerings and rams and rivers of oil. He proclaims, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" There's something about Jesus that inspires us to let down our hair, to break accepted norms, to sacrifice, and to give of ourselves. Mary shows us the way in her impulsive, loving act. She anointed his feet, as can we. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are assured by the words of the psalmist that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Those words mean something to us, God. We praise you for your knowing how we feel and think. We praise you for the gift of your Son, who accompanies us on journeys with unexpected challenges and barriers. We praise you for your Spirit, who offers renewed energy when we feel tired and weak. These are tough times for all of us, God. We admit to being unprepared for what we have been facing. We admit to feeling unsettled and anxious. We admit to being impatient with others as they seem to ignore dangers that face us all. We admit to struggling with a faith that promises you are our refuge and strength. Thank you for being patient with us, God. In the midst of our fears and tears, you understand. Thank you, God, for being that present help in times of trouble. Thank you for the assurance that we are not alone, that we are in this together. As we face our own personal issues, we also pray for those within our fellowship who are facing their challenges as well. Rod Knaus, Regina Coya, Joe Coya, Gail Kloss. We also reach out in prayer to the family of Winona Garrett as they mourn her loss this past week. And we pray for our sisters and brothers of the Family of Faith United Methodist Church in Akron. May they continue to be inspired to serve you as they meet your Son in the midst of the city. And we pray that you will watch over those any place in the world who have been afflicted with the coronavirus. We know they are afraid. May they know our prayers go out to them as well as to those in leadership positions trying to find relief and solutions for all. In a very real sense, God, you are present. You are our present help in trouble. And we thank you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.